Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
You know, you can just be seated. There we are. I'm going to preach a little bit different. I'm going to be prophetic tonight. Is that okay? I didn't come to be a dominie tonight. It was a joke. I came to be a prophet. Is that okay? I want to prophesy as much as I can tonight. I want to be very prophetic tonight. We have stepped into an incredible hour in the world. And my greatest concern in this hour is that people will be so affixed with the things of this world that they will not understand the hour and the time that we are moving in. We are moving into a very unusual time now. And this morning I had the privilege to preach at my friend's church, and you know, that was fun. But as I stood there, and on Friday I had this meeting, and you know, I'm going through many things in this hour in terms of being a prophet, because under being prophetic, you have to understand there's different levels of the prophetic. And I'm seeing things that is both concerning and getting me into action. And as I was driving here, the Lord spoke to me, 1 Samuel 17 verses 11. And I just want to take a small snippet for you. I'm not going to be long, because I want to prophesy over people's lives. I want to get you into a place of freedom. And these nights work like this. I know this is completely new for Woodbank, but tonight is building on tomorrow night. So, and I can tell you the truth, tomorrow night Pretoria is coming. So, you know, you have to come early to get a seat, because they're coming. But that was a good place to say hallelujah, amen. You guys look depressed. Don't be depressed. You're going to heaven. Amen. Come on. Let's rejoice and be glad. But I was on Friday. I met with another prophet, and I said to him, I said, listen, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? Because I want to know what you're seeing. Because I'm seeing myself. I'm seeing a changing of the gods. I see how great generals have gone to be of the Lord, and this has caught my attention. I actually prophesied this in 2014. I prophesied that 5 years into the future, generals will start to go to be of the Lord. Didn't know what I was saying at that stage, but then it started to happen. And there's a changing of the gods taking place. And the reason for that is what I want you to access for you tonight. The reason why there's a changing of the gods is because God is raising up new custodians. That's a good word to use. He's raising up new custodians in cities, in towns, in nations across this world. And even as I say that, the anointing increases. He is raising up custodians, people that He can put His mantles on. They will be prophets and apostles, evangelists, pastors and teachers like the world has never seen. But they are not going to look like the previous movement. And the reason, I'm trying to be very prophetic, but you have to know they're not going to look the same. But He's raising up custodians over cities. He's raising up custodians over nations, because He wants to let these mantles be deposited. You have to understand, when a general goes to be of God, or when a movement goes to be of the Lord, they don't take their anointing with them. It stays on the planet, because they don't need it in heaven. Are you there? And so this changing of the gods has taken place, and simultaneously the real church, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, you will see something, that there's 18 signs that have to be on the planet. And we know this. And 2 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us this. And there's many scriptures that refers to this. Matthew 24 refers to this. many signs that need to be on the planet. And so, and if we look at all the signs, there's three that still needs to come. We are not there yet. But one of the first signs that will come is that the church will go under persecution. It's the last movement that will be upon the world. But I want you to understand something. Understanding the times and the seasons of God is very important. Because if you don't understand the times and the seasons of God, you may put yourself outside His time and find yourself in an opposite season. Now God does not mind your season, whether it's high or low. He still wants His fruit out of it. Because He curses the fig tree. And as the fig tree, it shouldn't even bear fruit. It's not fig tree season. Yet He curses it. And He says, where's my fig? And that doesn't make sense unless you serve the God that uses impossible situations to bear fruit out of it. Ah, come on. He curses the tree. He says, where are your fruit? The fig tree must have said, I don't know. But that's not what the Bible says. But the point is, Jesus uses impossible situations to turn it around. And what's been happening, I want to be prophetic of you tonight. What's been happening in the world is that the true church, listen to me, many sons and daughters, the custodians, they've gone through crushing. Oh, come on, Witbank, moet ek Afrikaans praat. Come on. Smile at me, respond, react. Save me response. No. Come on, church. Save me response. Okay, so respond. The prophetic is all about response. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to pull me into the pastoral. So, respond. Okay. If your neighbor doesn't know, it's okay. Shout him awake or shout her awake. It's better to be awake tonight and receive a word from God. Receive come on. I'm sure you didn't come out on a Sunday night to be entertained. You came out to have an encounter. You know, I remember those days, you know, we were sitting on the edge of our chairs when we grew up. 10 years ago, I would sit at the edge of my chair. If I hear people prophesy and the word just sounds good, I'll snatch it. I'll say, that sounds good. I'll take that. I was so hungry for God. Today, he is immense, but he's here. But if you can sit on the edge of your seat, being ready to get, I tell you, God will, you catch God's attention and He'll come and visit you. And so, this crushing has been happening and it's left many people perplexed. They didn't understand what is going on. And let me give you a prophetic word tonight. What was busy happening is God was preparing you to be a custodian. But He was first trusting. And He was first checking, can you be trusted? Because who will give you much if you can't be trusted of little? Oh, come on, are you with me? And so the word Gethsemane, by the way, means olive press. So whenever God leads you into a garden to go and pray, that is normally not for intimacy. That is for crushing. So that what comes out of the garden is anointed. That's why your Bible speaks about the three gardens. The first garden, we lost God. The second garden, God came to find Himself. The third garden, man came to find God, Mary. Come on, are you with me? So just one scripture, then I'm going to prophesy. Are you guys okay? So listen, if you are new, if you are welcome here, I'll do all the welcomes. But you need to invite every single person you can find to tonight and tomorrow, or to tomorrow night. Tonight's too late. Tomorrow night. And when you see us dance like this, you know why we do it? When we sing like we sing, it's not because we're crazy. Maybe we are a little bit, but it's because we have become convinced. We know no height, no depth, no angel, no demon, no principality, no power. We have become convinced. We have become convinced. So we are not here to have a stilte kerk. We are here to take over. We are here. You know, I was preaching this morning. I tell you, I was spitting all over the show. I was running there in my suit. And even the old people, they became to do like this. And I say, Here my Erisien is wakker jong. I was like, I'm on fire for God. I'm in love with God. I'm in love with the King of Kings. And so tonight I feel at home again. But this morning I was in a beautiful suit doing my thing, and even the older people, they fall stunning. But I like, hey, I'm teasing, that's a joke. But we must cut that out, please, because I'm going to get into trouble. They won't invite me. Listen, but no, we had an awesome time. We had such an awesome time. You know, I said to my friend, I said to him, listen, your whole church is ready for revival. I said to him, I said, put me in this church for 2 nights, we'll have revival. The guys are hungry for it. Hungry for it. So, listen, if God moves like that, it means that there's a, again, you know, there's a changing of the guards happening. Also, it's really taking place. And He's moving custodians into place around our nation. I can tell you, He has moved custodians in place around the world. He's busy. He's busy because the only church that will survive this hour is the church that, and when I say church, I speak about the corporate body of Christ, is those that are founded upon the apostolic, birth into the prophetic, and supports the pastoral, evangelical, and teacher ministries. The true church will come alive. So God is, I tell you, we are in for some exciting stuff. And that's why many of you have faced a pressing. But the pressing was not there to break. The pressing was there to prepare. And because you can find yourself confused if you don't understand the purpose. I've gone the last 8-9 months, I've gone through the darkest hours of my life. But I needed to find the purpose in the pressing, so that I can understand the power outside of that wrong. And this morning, you know, I preached, and my friend, haven't seen me for a long time, preaching. He was like, there's something different. I'm like, yeah, I've been pressed on every side. I've been betrayed, been cast aside. People have left. We've gone through heartache. But still we hold on. Why? Because of 1 Samuel 17:11. That's why. That Bible of yours says, my Bible says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were afraid. And this morning, this evening, you know, my morning or evenings are in my car. This evening, I want to say, the word Goliath, by the way, means revelation. It's a word, that's his name. His name means revelation. In other words, when he comes onto the scene, he reveals himself. But I want you to see that all of Israel fears him. He has not raised one weapon. He has not raised a sword, nor a spear, nor a battle axe. Yet all of Israel is in trepidation by the sound of his voice. Come on, that's what it says. He has done nothing. The man is just standing there, 8 feet, 6 inches, some say 9 inches tall, as a revelation. And all of Israel is afraid. Because faith and fear works on the same principles. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of the Lord. Fear comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the voice of Satan. You have to understand, when you shift your destiny, you have listened to another voice. That's why God asked Adam, who did you listen to? And I want you to see something, that they need to send the runt of the family, David. David is the runt. The Bible says he's the lowest of the low in his family. He needs to come onto the scene. And if you study this, it's a beautiful scripture. I don't want to go into it too deeply, just very short. If you study this, you'll find a beautiful thing. David, the anointed one, he's a worshiper. He's a little bit weird because he worships that sheep with the Lord. He comes onto the scene. He says to Eliab and his brothers, why are you so afraid? And then I like David. David, King Saul, the Bible says, King Saul gets to hear about David. And he promises David many things. He says, I'll give you half of my kingdom. He promised him wives and gold and all of this stuff. And before David goes onto the scene, he goes and read the Bible. He asks Saul again. Come on, don't go quiet now. He asks Saul again, tell me again, what will I get? Let me go prophetic. Yeah, he makes the transaction clear. If I take this Goliath out, what do I get? You have to understand the reason why Jesus went to the cross is because beyond the cross was you. Oh, come on. So the negotiation that you were not a privy to was the negotiation between the Son and the Father, saying, if I go, what is there in it? There's an inheritance in it. If you see, I don't know if I'm in the right place, but I think I am, that there's David's here. Because if you are a David, if you are a David, the king will know about you automatically. And you can bargain with him. Oh, come on, are you there? You can bargain with the king. I want you to see something here. And this has been a lost thing in the church, and I don't know why, but this has been lost. Is that it took a king to take out the giant. And the Bible says that, I want to give you two principles and then we're going to prophesy. Here's the two principles. The Bible says, first and foremost, the Bible says, I don't know, are you sensing that the heavens are busy opening up? I don't know if you know this, but the heavens are opening up. Yes. You are in for, I tell you, you may find me strange, but I'm not strange. I'm in tune with what he's saying. You know, I don't know about you. I'm tired of playing church. I've cast it out enough, devils. Rarach. I said to God, listen, if I need to lock myself up in a room, whatever it takes now, I want you with all that I am. I cannot do this anymore without the fullness of who you are. I need everything there is. I want everything. I want everything. I know there's a price tag to that. I've paid the prices. I know that there's even a higher price tag. I know that. But I said, God, I cannot. I am so afraid for the people. Because I see people, die mense, hulle so gemaklik. And I think to myself, are you blind and deaf? You're blind and deaf. Don't you understand where we are? No. And so here's the tip I want to give you. The Bible says David runs into that field. He doesn't even know if God is with him. He just runs. That's what kings do. They just go for it. They run. The Bible says he throws that stone. That word stone there is exactly the same word used when it speaks about Jesus, the stone or the rock. Same word. But I want you to see something, and I don't want to go into that too deep, but I want you to see something here. The Goliath falls to his knees. David cuts off his head with his own sword. And for the rest of his life, David never fights with a sling again. He uses the mouthpiece of the devil. Why? Here's the prophetic key. The lies that Satan is telling you is the sword that you must pull. As you sit here tonight, there's stuff that the Satan, the stuff that the devil is telling you, that's the sword you must pull and say, hey, you haven't defied me. You have defied the armies of the living God. Come on, there's a sword that needs to be pulled. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you something now that will put the fear of God on you. If you don't pull your sword, there is already one pulled. It is in 1 Chronicles 21:20, I believe, or 1 Samuel 24:24, I think it is. It says, when the angel of the Lord has pulled his sword. Just Google that for me quickly. I think it's 1 Samuel 24:24. I just need the scripture quickly because he's speaking to me in my ear about it. I think it's 1 Samuel 24:24. It's where David pays the full demanded price. Right? Okay, 1 Chronicles 21:16. You see, how was that? No, but there's 1 Samuel 24:24. Go there as well. 1 Chronicles 21:26. 1 Chronicles 21:16. Yeah, man, what is in 1 Samuel then? 1 Samuel, there's a, okay, then listen here. No, that's not the one. Wrong scripture. I'll get it now. I know my Bible. It's when David pays the full demanded price and this angel sheaves his sword. Mensa. Hey, are you googling? Get it, you guys of life. It's 1 Chronicles 21:20. I think it is. What is in 1 Chronicles 21:20? Okay, but here's the scripture. This is what I want to say. I know it's there. It's the Bible says this in the scripture. Ah, I was right. Then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without that which costs me nothing. Then you get the second scripture that goes with the scripture is in 1 Samuel or in 2 Samuel 24:24, or it's 1 Samuel 24:24, where it says this, that the angel of the Lord has pulled his sword to bring judgment to Israel. And David goes, he runs, and he throws onto the altar 800 shekels of gold, I believe it is. Ah, there we go, a king in Babel. Then king said to Arunah, but I will surely buy it from you a price, nor will I offer offerings to my Lord my God without that, that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. I want you to see something here. So David bought the threshing floor. What was David doing? The very place, the threshing floor, was a place of judgment. So where God wanted to bring his judgment, David said, no. And in 1 Chronicles, the scripture tells us that when he throws the money onto the threshing floor, God gives the command. He tells the angel, sheathe your sword. In other words, listen to me very carefully now. God gives time for his people. He gives time. And he gives time for the world. But unless he finds someone that pays the full price, he pulls his sword. And what he's busy doing now is he's giving time. It's called grace. For what? For you and me to come to repentance. But he is looking for custodians that pays the full demanded price. Because they are the kings. They are the ones that he will raise up in this hour. Because the oil cannot come cheaply. It will cost you something. It will always cost something. Let me say that I'll end of this. There is no transaction between heaven and earth without sacrifice. No transaction. No transaction. In actual fact, with sacrifice is a guaranteed response. God, let me finish with this. God is often late, but always on time. And so I wonder tonight, the wood bank, don't go so silent, please. I wonder tonight, are we part of those that are putting up our hands and our hearts simultaneously? Because there will be an expression, I tell you the truth, that will gather what itching ears want to hear. And what they will do, they will speak against God's people. And they will call themselves God's people. But I've never seen a gossiper being blessed by God. Ever. And so what God is calling to you and I in this night, he is saying this. That gods have shifted and changed. Will you be a custodian? Because as you sit here tonight, you know in your spirit. You know if you're chosen. You can't fight that if you are chosen. You can run, but you cannot hide. You can be like Saul that kicks against the goats until Jesus appears to him and say, okay, can we please stop? Who are you? I am Jesus Christ, the one you are persecuting. I want you to note what Jesus says, and I'll finish with that. He does not say to Paul, or Saul that became Paul, you are persecuting the church. He says, you are persecuting me. That's why you will never find me talk against church. You know why? I speak then against the King. He says, Paul says, who are you? Jesus says, I am the one that you're persecuting. Paul struck with blindness. The Bible says he went about, and this is I can preach this on this. This is, many of the Christian world has been struck with blindness. They are lost and they don't even know it. And God is, for prophetic language, God is sending Ananias and saying, go take off that what blinded them. And so tonight, church, friends, it's simply this. You have to choose. And I'm going to lay hands tonight. I'm going to prophesy many. I'm going to start to prophesy over you tonight. But I want you to take a responsibility for the calling that God has placed upon your life. And you must and cannot run away anymore. Because God has prepared you for this hour. Oh, come as a belief. God has prepared you for this hour. You don't need to wait anymore. You must not wait anymore. You cannot wait anymore. There is a nation dying because there's too many people waiting. Oh, hear me to this morning. All of Israel was afraid until one man comes onto the scene. One man that knows his God. And he says, "Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine?" And then the Bible says, when Goliath falls, suddenly that spirit that made everybody afraid, suddenly that spirit lifts. And the Bible says, Israel becomes brave and they chase the Philistines. You can be the person that God uses to shift a city, to shift a nation, to say, oh, come on. You can be that person. You can be that person. And I want to challenge you tonight, don't let your thoughts be so small. Dream bigger. Think bigger. Ask bigger. You are dealing with an infinite God that has no supply lack. Are you there? So I'm firstly, before I start to prophesy, I want to pray a prayer. And I'm going to pray a dangerous prayer tonight. But that you will be of the ones. I said to my wife this, you know, my wife preached this morning so good. I was feeling rejected. Because the church in Pretoria, those guys, they were so happy with her. I'm like, ish. You know. But I said to her this afternoon, I said, you know what? I call her beautiful. I said, you know what, beautiful? I said, if God told me by saying yes to Him, He would have done all this stuff and we would have gone through all of these things, I would have said no. But He never told me. He just said, come. I said, okay. Where to? Come and follow me. Okay. It's a simple call, but it costs you everything. It costs you everything. And can I say again, the changing of the God has happened. And there's mantles. And maybe you understand what I say tonight or not. And that's fine. But there's mantles that He has released upon the planet, that is waiting everywhere. And it's waiting for the shoulders of the custodians to be ready, that He could place it upon them and that they can walk in it. And as I was driving here, the Lord said to me, He said, tell my church, tell my people, tell my church, tell them that I long for them more than what they long for me. Tell them I'm in love with them. Tell them I yearn for them. Tell them. You know, if you find out this one secret about God, just this one. I don't know if you have spaces where you meet with God every day, but have you ever thought that He actually longs for you? Okay. As I was driving in here again tonight, He said to me again, He said, tell the people of Woodbank that I want to open up a heaven here. It's never been closed, by the way. But He said to me, tell them I want to open it up. But what I'm looking for is someone and a people here that truly honors me. Because if they do, I'll rend the heavens. I tell you the truth. And so tonight I want to pray a prayer. I don't want to go too deep, but because I'm leaving stuff for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I can tell you now already, I'm going to lay hands on and I'm going to anoint prophets, people that are called to the prophetic. And I'm going to make sure I give you everything we carry. That you are so saturated with God that you can maybe, you know, when I've done these things in other places, the people, they get so full of God that, you know, sometimes they just lay under God. We've had people lay under God for long. But I want to give it to you because we need to raise up more sons and daughters. There is too few people playing this game. We need more sons and daughters, more people that are actually with us to take the kingdom of God forward. And I don't know about you, but I just know one way, and that is the way of ceasing with that what is the devil's, taking it back and say, thank you, it belongs to me. There's only one way. And so tomorrow night will be a night where I'm going to anoint every single one, but and tonight we will do some of that as well, tomorrow night will be a night where there will be a special anointing. I'm bringing in something tomorrow night that I have never brought in here, because I know that you as a people don't have it here, but it's to elevate you so that you can hear and see. I remember my whole life changed two occasions. First occasion, when I stood in front of then the number one or the highest ranking prophet in our nation. And you have to understand, prophets have got ranks in this world. You're standing in front of the highest ranking prophet in our nation. I was serving him faithfully for 10, 15 years. Serving him. And he stood in front of me. And he said, what I carry, I give to you. And I remember the day he put his hands and it felt like 1,000 lightning bolts hit my spirit. It felt like a punch. And I remember flying to the floor out for the count with these thousands of bolts of electricity on me. And I remember waking up the next morning and God starting to tell me secrets. And I was like, what is this? And I knew, but I've entered a whole new dimension. It was like voices everywhere. And then the most defining moment in my life was when my apostolic covering, my spiritual father, which I've served for 17 years now, when he put his hands on me and threw oil on me and anointed me, the only way I can describe it for you is like this. It felt like jolts of power. You see, if you can carry the prophetic and the apostolic, you have become a building block. And I remember as I was inaugurated and the oil was burning our eyes and we were laying under the power, and as we were there, I remember in this moment God assigning three angels to us, 1, 2, 3, and I said, but who's at my back? God says, that place I've reserved for the body of Christ. You have to understand, that's a truth I can share another night. The only place of you that are open is your back. Why? That's a place God normally gives sons. That is why when Noah was naked, true sons walk backwards. Okay, that's for another night. But I want to pray. Are you getting something out of this? I see some of you guys like, we've never seen you like that. It is because I don't come like a pastor, I come like a prophet tonight. Are you there? Are you with me? You can do these things because God comes and He wants to do great things tonight. So let me not hold it back any further. I want to pray this prayer, and I want to pray a prayer of sanctification and preparation and elevation. That if you are here tonight and you say, but God, that's me, Lord, I have no other desire. I have no other desire but the fullness of the kingdom that the kingdom has for me. Then I want you. I want you. You see, Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet he forfeits his soul? So God means business. And you must be in business with God. Are you with me? And so I want to pray this prayer. And I want to call you as sons and daughters and say, hey, are you serious with God? And then we're going to start to prophesy and lay hands. Is that okay? And again, I say there's a custodian change that has happened. And with this custodian change, God has been pressing people through the oil press to get them ready. For what? For victory. To lead a people. And you might sit here and feel that, I'm not ready. You are ready. You will never know you're ready until you lead. So stop waiting and just do it. Amen? So if that's you tonight, I want you to jump to your feet. I'm going to pray a prayer. And you can lift your hands to God. Zotroboshtere. So Father, across this room, I pray in the majestical name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And if you agree with this prayer in this night, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's a prayer of sanctification, a prayer of being ready for that, what God wants to do with your life. It will most likely cost you. But if you stand, the price is the kingdom. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray across this room that you do a transaction right now of hearts. That Jesus, that a seriousness of the kingdom will come upon us right now. We will understand. You have called us to power. So if that's you tonight, I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I come tonight to submit myself wholly, wholeheartedly, fully under your instructions. In this night, I submit myself to the headship, to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit myself to God and to man. And in this night, I bring my whole life into order, into the kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you that you have prepared me for this hour. I ask you now, God, to place upon me the power, the authority, the might, the dignity, the seven spirits of the one Holy Spirit. Burn upon me in this night with a new fire. Open up my eyes that I might see. Place into my hands a new authority, that wherever my feet shall tread, the kingdom will go. And from this night, I count my life not as my own. I give it freely into your hands, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. in this night, I ask, place me as a custodian, as a watchman in this hour. In Jesus' name, rest upon my shoulders. The government of the Son, rest upon me. The weight of souls. This I ask in Jesus' name. Father, I pray. That's me praying for you now. Father, I pray. Father, I pray that your people will understand. Open up their ears, God. They may hear. Open up their eyes, God, that they might see. Open up their mouths, God, that they may speak. Break them open as windows of heaven. Father, I call in a new season in this hour. For even now as I stand here, God, I see how drapes are coming into the city. Lord, I see your royal garments draping into a city. Call you into the city. Come and take over. Come in here, I pray. In Jesus' majestic name.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.